Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter, and today I am speaking again with Dr. Nader Pourhassan. He is the CEO of Cytodyn Inc. Stock symbol over the counter is CYDY. Nader, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, so Nader, since our prior interviews back in January and March of this year, Cytodyn has been making some really significant progress, in developing leronlimab Pro-140, for treating HIV and cancer. And now you've had a number of pretty significant news announcements over the last few weeks. So, I guess the point of this interview update is really, if you can bring our audience, up to date on the current status of your pipeline and the path towards commercialization. So, before we get into that, maybe if you can just, give a quick recap of what your technology, what the leronlimab does, and then, maybe you could address the pipeline, one at a time.
No, absolutely. And our product, leronlimab Pro-140, is a humanized monoclonal antibody that binds to a CCR5, which is a co-receptor on a T cell. For that reason, it stops the HIV from replicating because T cells are required by HIV to be able to replicate. And when leronlimab binds to the exact location that HIV needs to use, then HIV cannot replicate or get into the T cell. Therefore, the HIV that doesn't get to the cell is not viable. So this is a very powerful mechanism of action. But at the same time, there have been discoveries about CCR5 that has a lot more indications. And this is just has been happening in the last 15 years or so. The role of CCR5 was not known. And the person who invented leronlimab actually is the person who discovered the interaction of HIV through CCR5 with the T cell. But the CCR5 is also apparently is present on some cancer cells, which those cells are responsible for killing humans by metastasizing. Very powerful statement, because if CCR5 is only on the cancer cells that can metastasize, the rest of the cancer cells cannot kill. Therefore, it is very important for us to explore all of these things. And having said that, the big pharma, Pfizer, owns the HIV product. That's a pill. It has black box warning. It has been approved for HIV. And they're now checking that product for NASH, for cancer, for septic shock, for recovery from stroke. I mean, the name of the list of things that CCR5 is involved is really fantastic. And we're following the Pfizer's lead, actually. When they go after one item, we follow the lead. And we can do this for this product very rapidly because the product has been into 740 patients for HIV purposes, and it has shown to have hardly any side effect or hardly any toxicity. Pfizer's product, Mirabroc, again, was approved for HIV and has a black box warning and has side effect and toxicity. So our technology is to finish developing this for HIV, for combination therapy, for a deadly population, unmet medical disease, and for something that could have a big implication on people's quality of life, monotherapy. This product is self-injectable once a week, and if patients can use it as monotherapy for HIV, they can put away their pills, whether it's one pill a day or two or three or four pills a day at different times. They can forget about all of that and just enjoy self-injectable sub-Q underneath the skin if they are responders. So two populations for HIV, and as Pfizer started going after different indication and discovered different things for their CCR5 antagonist, we follow that for graft versus host disease, very importantly, cancer, and now we are following to go through NASH, which is very important indication. So that's where we are with, that's where this product is supposed to do for all these indications, and we are developing it for all of them.
So let's kind of start off with the HIV product. This is the one that's furthest along, right?
That's correct. And yeah, with HIV, we bought this product when it was masterfully developed to phase two by Dr. Paul Madden and his team at Progenics. At that time in 2010, the path to approval looked to be 20 years. We bought that product for only $3.5 million down payment because there was too many years left in their development. And we raised over almost $200 million because we changed the path, and the path was much shorter. It's been 4.5 years since we met with FDA for our first indication, and we are now filing the BLA, final biologic license application. We hit our primary endpoint, finished the study with responders rate of 81%. Put that in perspective with the last product approved for that HIV population, they had 43%. We have 81%. So we really have some fantastic results, and we're able to get the product to the brink of approval, hopefully. And the second trial was monotherapy. There has never been a monotherapy trial with the self-injectable in the world of cancer. This could change HIV paradigm if it's successful, in our opinion. And we had 400 patient study, and the patients who are responders, they enjoy this very much. We have testimony from patients who say, "Where was this product? I'm having a great time now that I'm off all these drugs." Even though drugs today are much better than before, but again, taking 3, 4 pills a day is not very comfortable. And so the situation that we have right now, combination therapy, unmet medical need population where they don't have other alternative. We are about to have our biologic license application, final application for final approval, to be able to hand that into the FDA and hopefully have revenue. In that regard, we need to have tremendous amount of product on hand. And Samsung has signed an agreement with us to produce $1 billion worth of product with a deferred payment, which is the first main payment is due next March, next year, March 2020. So we are very happy to see a very big biologic manufacturing like Samsung look at us and realize that we are going to get approved, in their opinion, and that's why they signed an agreement. I am going to South Korea very soon to have a ceremony for that agreement, which ultimately could be about $250 million agreement for close to $10 billion worth of product manufactured.
So
And we're
that's a
very.
significant, validation to have the Samsung involved in this.
Absolutely. And having a monotherapy on top of that, that could have a market size that is tremendous. All the questions were, well, can this little company produce that kind of volume without having too much cash on hand? And those questions now have been answered, as a lot of skeptics before thought that there was no way we could get approval for combination in this short of a period of time. So we're very satisfied with our achievement, and we believe that the shareholders will be seeing a lot of value as these milestones are getting very, very close to us achieving them in 2019 and perhaps 2020.
So the combination HIV therapy, so this is and so so Samsung will be develop will be actually manufacturing the drug. What's the when will do you expect to actually launch commercialization?
So
Assuming you
our
get the
biologic.
approval.
That's great. So biologic license application is, we are hoping to have that completed hopefully by July. Now that's our best case scenario. Worst case scenario would be September, October. So if we have those timelines of July, then we could have approval end of this year or first quarter of next year. Best case, worst case, it will be end of this year or end of first quarter of next year. That approval will give us potential to have revenue. And that approval would validate that the first self-injectable antibody for the world of HIV is in market. Now, that would be followed by monotherapy, indication that is not unmet medical need. It's just for patients who are tired of taking their pills and they just want to get off the pills and they want to enjoy something that has hardly any toxicity or side effect. When we are enrolling for this indication, we're very pleasantly surprised to see that every site it gets tremendous amount of responders from patients who want to enroll. And when the study is over, patients do not want to get off of this treatment. And we have announced before that the Gilead analysts a couple of years ago indicated if this little company has success with the monotherapy, there will be huge pushback on the Gilead sales of HIV product if a big pharma buys this little company. So having said that, they were waiting for the responders. The big pharmas were waiting for the responders rate of monotherapy, which originally was 40%, and now we have just reported 95% responders rate past the induction period of first 10 weeks. So post 10 weeks, we have 95% responders rate. We are about to submit our pivotal trial. We had a press release recently talking about the responders rate being so high with the dose of 525 milligram, and our pivotal trial should be submitted to the FDA very soon.
And so with the monotherapy, that seems like really the potential blockbuster. What's the path towards commercialization for that? Now you have the combination therapy that's nearing approval here. How much time do you think it would take for the monotherapy to get there?
So the FDA has told us they need to see a pivotal trial of 48 weeks. Once we submit the pivotal protocol, hopefully let's just assume that we do that by next week. Within 4 weeks after that, we get all the comments from the FDA and we initiate this study. To enroll a couple of hundred patients will be about 3 to 4 months maximum because enrollment is very high. Once we get everybody enrolled, it'll be 52 weeks, about a year. So by the end of 2020, we can file our second BLA, and that waiting period is about a couple of months. So you're talking about having back-to-back approval and hopefully have sales of monotherapy in 2021.
That's very, very exciting. So I'm assuming that patients like the idea of just doing this. What is it? It's a once-a-week injection then.
That's correct. So in a post-approval, it'll be self-injectable and it'll be prefilled syringe. So they simply take the syringe, like diabetes patients have to give themselves injections, for insulin. And it's a very simple underneath the skin, and they can do that once a week, which would take maybe 30 seconds to a couple of minutes maximum, and they're done. And if their viral load is below detectable, as we have seen post 10 weeks, 95% are under 50 copies, that means an HIV patient with this product cannot pass HIV to anybody else. That's the same thing with the pills. If their viral load is below 50 copies per mil, they cannot pass. And there's a movement right now, U equal to U, undetectable equal to untransmissible. Now, to help that movement, this product could be very useful because hopefully in future, if we even use this as prevention, which is something that Gilead is now focusing on, we also could be post-approval, be considered for prevention. Imagine if a person who might be getting HIV could just take one sub-Q injection, hardly any toxicity, hardly any side effect, and they're covered for about a week. Current prevention drug is Truvada, and that drug has toxicity and side effect, and the person has to take it for 6 months in a row, every day, where ours will be just one time, and if they're not in danger of getting the HIV, they don't have to take it. Now, that's post-approval, but in regards to taking our product and adding it to any drug as an add-on, that's another possibility that we could explore post the first approval. So So the opportunities for us post-approval for HIV in HIV alone is quite a bit, but I think the other indication is going to take over if we are successful much faster than HIV.
So let's talk about some of those other indications now.
Well, in regards to cancer, world-renowned oncologist who's with Google Scholar has been ranking him as number one in certain cancers. He discovered 5 years ago or so that the metastasis of cancer happens through the cells that have this CCR5 receptor. This CCR5 receptor is on the T cell where HIV needs to use it, but it's also on those cancer cells. He discovered it. And his discovery was the path to metastasizing for a cancer tumors are mostly through HIV pathway. That was a significant discovery. Pfizer and Merck are currently using their HIV product in the clinical trial for cancer. So we also initiated our triple negative breast cancer as our first cancer indication, and we are doing in vitro studies of 8 other cancer indications, which we could get phase two out of them because of our safety and efficacy with HIV is going to be considered by FDA, and they can give you a phase two as they have with our GVHD and TNBC without waiting. So we skip like 10 years of development and $200 million worth of development. We go straight to phase two. So because of that, our triple negative breast cancer did have in vitro study. It was very positive. We gave it to FDA, and we are initiating triple negative breast cancer. And we're very proud to say that the data started coming up with animal study, very strong compared to even Pfizer's HIV product, and that data convinced FDA to give us fast track designation, which we just announced. So that was a pretty substantial endorsement that we believe we got that this product could have good opportunities for patients in triple negative breast cancer, which is an unmet medical need, and it's a disease that patients usually die within 9 to 13 months. We also have filed for orphan drug designation for that population. But again, after this indication, once we have the first patient injected, we are hoping to have some results within 4 or 5 months of interim results, which is to check the patient's blood level of CTC, circulating tumor cells. And if those levels are going down, we will be filing for breakthrough designation, which would be very exciting for our company. So triple negative breast cancer and 8 other cancer, which includes leukemia, lung cancer, brain cancer, those are all being worked on right now to prepare, hopefully, for phase two submission to FDA. Graft versus host disease was also initiated by us, and we are hoping to reinitiate it with a modified protocol within the next few weeks. And last but not least, NASH. That's something that Gilead's product just failed. And everybody's searching for NASH. Companies that have phase two in NASH, they are about $1 billion to $1.5 billion market cap. And we are hoping to have a phase two in NASH as soon as we get our in vitro studies. So that means we could, our market cap is about $150 million. Our stock has been very much undervalued, in my opinion. And therefore, I believe the significant amount of milestones with all these activities are, really impressive coming up.
And when do you expect to get that study for the NASH indication?
We are going to initiate that study very soon, and we will announce it. And once that study starts, we are hoping within 6 to 8 weeks to have some results to give to FDA.
Okay, so it sounds like you have a number of important milestones coming up. So let's. So I think you've kind of covered what's ahead for the next few months. Let's kind of summarize. For investors, in your opinion, what would you say are the key value drivers right now that investors should take into account when considering your stock?
Well, the most important name for penny stocks are high risk, high reward. I don't know if anybody can find any company like ours that is in the brink of submitting the final application for final approval for HIV and having cancer indications, so many of them. So to me, number one is we are low risk, high reward. Very low risk, very high reward. That's number one. Number two, you got a product that could save people's life. Right now, FDA has told us to put a tab on our website that says expanded access. So if anybody's having metastasis cancer and are in terminal position where they don't have any other option, they are able to take our product, and FDA has told us to make sure we make the product available. That's a pretty powerful position to be able to hopefully impact patients' lives so quickly. And number three, in my opinion, is the number of milestones that this company has in this year alone is so significant compared to any other company. And the amount of appreciation that's ahead of us is just so incredible. Our stock is sitting close to 45 to 50 cents level. To have a 10 time this value, you can compare our company perhaps with Gilead. Would Gilead be 10 times from $60 or so to $600 within the next 1 year or 6 months? And do we have that chance? So I think comparing ourselves to any one of these companies, even large pharma, for potential growth, we have a tremendous opportunity, in my opinion.
So, that being said, again, I want to congratulate you, on the recent progress, and we look forward to following up with you in the next month or so.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Prasad.